a joining together of all the villages and townships of the region known as the Argolid, which was a vast area quite fertile in northeastern Peloponnesus, and many lesser cities, Troezen, Hermone, Phlius, Tiryns, Mycenae. All of these towns would be incorporated as part of the greater Argive state and therefore augment the Argive army, which could take on the Spartans. And the Argives had every incentive to do this. They were encouraged for part of the time by Themistocles while he was in exile. The Argives remodeled their constitution along a democratic lines, actually following the Athenian model, including ostracism. The Thebans in central Greece at the same time were attempting to set up what the Greeks would call a league or a ton koinon, a commonality. These were originally religious leagues joined together by common cults and by common festivals. But Boeotia, a very large and rich plain, was home to 11 different city-states, one of them Plataea, allied to Athens. And what Thebes hoped to do was to incorporate all these states into some kind of federal league dominated by the Thebans, which could then launch an army equal to that of Sparta. Reputedly, the Theban army was some 7,000 hoplites and 1,200 cavalry in 431 BC and regarded as one of the best forces in all of Greece. Both of these states, Thebes and Argos, had been compromised by their alignment with King Xerxes. And the Spartans spent a great deal of their time coping with both of them as possible challenges. They eventually succeeded in restricting Argos. Argos was driven back, it was defeated in a series of border clashes, and eventually that drove the Argives to seek an alliance with Athens. Thebes, on the other hand, did very well. Thebes took the initial stages of carrying out a federal league, and when war broke out between Athens and Sparta in 461 BC, Thebes is one of the beneficiaries, and it will be the Thebans, not the Athenians, but it will be the Thebans in the 4th century BC at the Battle of Leuctra in 371, who will defeat the Spartans and take away their hegemony in Greece. A significant point often overlooked, and a significant point is that the Thebans were so good at what they were doing because they were probably imitating so closely the Spartan organizational methods. So in the 470s and 460s BC, the Spartans had good reason not to be involved in the Aegean. And it wasn't all the fact that they were dreading Helots invading at any, rebelling at any moment, or that they were just too conservative and too fearful of outside corruption. There were serious challenges at home, and there was a serious lack of royal leadership. And I think those are the two principal issues that were at stake in the 470s and 460s. And conveniently for Athens, in the person of Cimon, the Spartans could be reassured that whatever the Athenians did were going to be, it was going to be conducted by a leading figure who was more than acceptable to the Spartans. And finally, remember what I said in several of the earlier lectures. Athens was building her confederation in regions that were largely outside the orbit of the Peloponnesian League. They were centered on the Aegean. There were a few trading partners in there. Megara traded in the Black Sea. Corinth had some interest in the east. But primarily, the challenges to Sparta were coming from Argos and Thebes, and those were two states that were challenging Sparta on that second axis based on the Gulf of Corinth that linked northern and Greece and Peloponnesus and Greek Sicily and Italy into an economic cultural unit. So what the Spartans were dealing with were a challenge immediately at home, whereas that Athenian development was to some extent in a secondary field, a point that is missed by Thucydides, I believe, because Thucydides is essentially an Athenian. He looks at the Athenian issues first and foremost. When he discusses state power and the importance of money and fleets, he's speaking as an Athenian. And I think my position is borne out very well that when the war erupts and in 431 BC and Thucydides gives a breakdown of the financial and military resources of the two belligerents, he gives an extremely detailed account in the opening of Book Two of Athens, but almost nothing about Sparta and the Peloponnesian League. He's just not aware of it, or he doesn't have the information. Well, that meant that the Athenians had this remarkable advantage that they could expand while Sparta was preoccupied in other ways. Now, that changed dramatically in 465 BC. And I mentioned in a previous lecture, that is because of several events that would have been understood by the Spartans that the Delian League was changing into something quite different.